Good evening, everybody. Somebody told me I started to retape that way, and I didn't know that. Good evening, everybody. I guess that's how people get their trademark. They say something out of habit, and the people know this. It's not planned. I don't have a writer for this show over here. Tonight's class is happily dedicated in honor of my new granddaughter born today to my son Joey and his wife Rivka. And we also offer Mabruk to her father and mother, Sammy and Chava Biton. May this little child grow up to be a true Bat Yisrael, daughter of Israel, and bring glory to the name of Hashem. Amen. In Tanakh, all over the Torah, there are places where the relationship between Hashem and His people is put in human terms. In Shir HaShirim, the famous Song of Songs of Shlomo HaMelech, it's a love song. A suitor, a fiancé, a man and a woman, young man, young girl, however you want to look at it. And then we have Achoti, my sister, Rayati, my dearest, my beloved, Yonati, my dove. There's a lot of places where Hashem refers to His people in endearing terms. And this week's parasha, Parashat Re'eh, is no different. The Pasuk says, chapter 14, verse 1, Banim Atem, you are sons, children, LaHashem Elokechem, to the Lord your God, Hashem your God. Lo tidgodedu, v'lo tasimu korcha be'enechem. Don't scratch yourselves to take blood out. That was the way that many of the Gentile nations of the time would mourn. It was a form of mourning, or avodah zarah, idol worship, was to scratch their skin. Don't make a bald spot between your eyes. Lamet, for a dead person. Which seems to have no connection to Banim Atem, that you are Hashem's sons, but it's one pasuk, one verse. And based on that, and through the wisdom of, I have to say, one of the greatest people who lived within 25 miles of here, if not the greatest ever, in the words of Rav Aaron Cutler, the founder of the Lakewood Yeshiva, we will look at this pasuk tonight. He begins with Rashi, the primary and the ultimate commentator on the Torah. Lefi she'atem banav shel makom, since, because, due to the fact, lefi is really due to the fact, that you are sons of the Lord, of God, the atem reuyim liyot na'im, and it's proper for you to be beautiful. Na'e, kama na'e, how beautiful. Ve'lo gidugim u'makur chachim. You shouldn't be scratched and you shouldn't be balding. You shouldn't have, what's that haircut they have? Mushroom haircut. It's not becoming of you. It's called mushroom, that's some kind of crazy thing. Yeah. Shaving down the middle, the side, the guy with the bald head with the ponytail coming down the back, all these crazy things. They're not, it's not you. You're the king's son. You're dignified. And therefore the Torah not only forbids this behavior, this scratching and this shaving, but where most acts in the Torah, before you violate, you have to reach a shiur, you have to reach a certain amount. For example, according to the Torah, if you're going to violate the law of stealing, not to steal, you have to steal more than shave peruta, more than worth a penny. Peruta is like a small coin in those days. Or if somebody was guilty of violating Shabbat is shiurim. How much do you have to write? Two letters. How much? One letter is only darabanan. Two letters is what the Torah means. There's a shiur, there's a minimum. But over here, it goes with the minimum, which is one. Even one scratch, as meant by this pasuk, is a violation of the law. So it seems like not only is it bad, Hashem's very makpid, he's very particular. He's very particular in this area. He's very strict. It's not like other negative commandments of the Torah. And why should that be so? Why should it be that Hashem is so strict in this regard? And the answer comes out to be, because you are sons of the King, of Hashem. And you, it's proper for you, it's re'uyim, proper for you to be beautiful. And most of us would think, very simply, that means for the honor of my father, the king, the god of the universe, the creator, I have to be nice and act nice because of his honor. And that's the chidush, that's the novel idea of Rav Aaron Cutler, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, when he says, Hareze gam mitzad ha-hashivut ha-gedula shelachem ba'atzmechem. But the strictness of this particular command, which most people never even heard of. Don't feel like you don't know anything if you never heard of this before. This is one of those pasukim. It's not even a full pasuk. It's like half of a pasuk sandwiched in between this mourning procedure and being sons to God, that you shouldn't scratch yourself to draw blood. And he says it's not because, or not merely because, or not exclusively because you are sons to God, therefore you must glorify your father. But it's because of your own importance and your own greatness that you should not be doing such an activity. And that's tonight's theme. In the history of these tapes, we have never reached tonight's theme that quickly. Because of who you are, gentlemen and ladies, because of your own hashivut, because of your own status and your own importance and your own greatness, there are certain things you should do and there are certain things you should avoid. It's to behave as is befitting your beautiful, glorious, wonderful status that's paraphrased and encapsulated in the Torah and the phrase, Banim Atem Lashem Elokichem. You are sons, you are children of the Lord your God. And don't be fooled into thinking, yeah, that's the rabbi. Yeah, that's the Kohen. Yeah, that's one of the greats. Not me. Every member of Israel, every person in Israel is in this category of a great, of a unique, of a special. And if a person, because the Torah commands, has to be careful with the beauty and perfection of their physical body. Because remember what the Torah is talking about, scratching your body. How much more so should a person be cautious, careful, and meticulous with the perfection and the beauty of their soul, of their neshama tehorah. Pasuk follows, Ki am kadosh ata, because you are a holy nation. Ubecha behar Hashem, and in you Hashem has chosen, liot lo la'am segula, to be His treasure. So a person individually is part of a group called the Jewish people. And a person definitely, as if you're going to feel any unique specialness, you generally start with yourself. Either I am or I'm not. No, you don't. You generally say, well, the Jewish people are great, the Jewish people are special, the Jewish people are this and that and the other. I'm part of Hashem's chosen people. But me, I'm a small part of it. I'm an insignificant part of it. What do I matter? That's not the way Hashem looks at it. And my second point tonight is, you must leave here tonight with a different feeling. You must leave here tonight knowing how special you are. And I'll tell you why. There's a great mashal that I saw once. There was once a man who didn't have a lot of money. So I guess everybody in this room can make believe they're that man. Okay, we don't have a lot of money. We're just regular people struggling to make ends meet. Guy actually invested in the NASDAQ and was close to broke. We call him Ani, poverty stricken. This poverty stricken man started working and struggling and begging just to eat. One day, he took a shot with the paltry sum of money that he collected for the day. He bought a super lottery ticket, where the prize was something like $200 million. The one you dream about. Being a poverty-stricken person, the next day's concern was not who won the lottery, especially since it was probably drawn about a week later. He went about his business of eating. And unbeknownst to him, he won the $200 million. Good luck, right? If you know about it. He was totally unaware that he had won. And every day on the radio, they're barking, the winner has not turned up yet. The ticket was sold here and there. We know this much. But nobody's turned up with the ticket. And how's this man living from day to day? The same downtrodden, poverty-stricken way he lived before he won the lottery. You know why? He didn't know he was rich. So he lived like he was poor. That's the mashal. All of you, bar none, every man and woman in this room is very rich. And we live like paupers because we're not aware of it. There's a chiyuv, there's a requirement upon the person to recognize their own glory and importance. You've got to have self-esteem, and it's got to be based on the fact of who you are and just how special you are. And the reason why it's a chiyuv, why it's a requirement, is because it's probably the single most important driving force behind your observance of Torah and your self-improvement. What do I mean? My Ashkenazic friends have a great, great way to criticize a child. As passionists. I don't know if I have anybody here who understands. I'm glad nobody does. I probably pronounced it wrong, but I'll tell you what it means. It's just not you. You're better than that. It's beneath you, darling. So rather than yell at the kid, "You're a rotten liar!" The proper rebuke is for a boy like you to tell a lie. It's just not you, honey. You're better than that. For a girl like you to take something that doesn't belong to you from someone else at school or to cheat on an exam, that's passionist. It's beneath you. You're so special. You're so good. How could you behave that way? So that's why I want to drive home tonight the point that each one of you is special. Each one of you is important. Each one of you is included in the pasuk, because Hashem and Moshe were not speaking to one individual in the crowd. Banim Atem, you are all children of God. And you're Uyim Liot Naim. It's proper for you to be beautiful. Beautiful in mind, beautiful in body, beautiful in soul, beautiful in thought, and beautiful indeed. That's two words, not indeed. And there's another side to this. That's what we call a kol shekhen. And if you happen to be not just anybody of the Jewish people, but you happen to be, I don't like to use the word orthodox or conservative. You happen to be an observant Jew. You're known to the outside world. Oh, the buyers come to the office. They know if you're taking them out to dinner, you're going to that kosher restaurant again. Or did they open up a new kosher restaurant? Because you're known as observant. You just don't eat what everybody else eats. If somebody wants to invite you somewhere to go somewhere or do something, they know they don't invite you on Shabbat because Shabbat's your day of rest. You don't go places in a car or a plane or a boat on Shabbat. They know you're observant. So if you are known to be an observant Jew, the requirement upon you to perfect yourself in all those ways that I mentioned is so important. And if you happen to be a Ben Torah, someone who really studies the Torah and is known to be really to the right side of the spectrum, you must recognize your greatness, A. Act accordingly, B. Because C, human nature is to look for flaws, to look for weakness, and to look for negatives in those that are greater than them. And they do realize that the refined, lofty person who's devoting themselves to the proper things is up there in the spiritual spectrum, up there in the spectrum of self-improvement, and therefore they look for things that are wrong. So if you don't behave according to your status, I had someone once tell me, and I'm not bragging, I'm just trying to point out the point here, far from bragging, but it's just that somebody told me, so it made me realize. I said, let's go do this. They said, you can't do that. I said, well, it's mutar, it's allowed. Halakha says it's allowed, Jewish law permits it. He said, oh, no, Jewish law may permit it, but you're Raymond Bader, you can't do that. You're known for something. And if you would do that, I don't remember what it was, but I remember the line. You're this guy that people look at. And if you do something that even it's possible to interpret as not perfect, people are looking for that and they're going to use that. So don't do it. And how can you feel that way if you feel you're not important? So therefore it's a requirement to feel important. Now, remembering that poor man who won the lottery, isn't he a Hasid case? My odd guy. I cry when I think of that, Mashal. Poor guy won a $200 million lottery. He walks into the office. He's got a rotten supervisor that he can't stand. He hates her. And when she comes down on him, he takes it. Why? He needs the job. And all he's thinking to himself, well, I'd love to quit one day. But I got to pay the mortgage. I got to pay tuition. Doesn't realize he won the $200 million lottery. Doesn't realize how special he is. And he's taking all kinds of guff. I'll use a nice word. All kinds of abuse. Because he doesn't realize. So too, a person has to understand that your greatness, yourself, to use a more psychological word, yourself and your level, your essence, depends on how much you recognize your greatness and your worth. is a very unusual law. This one here, if I tell this to the general public, maybe I shouldn't tell you, I'll tell it. Because it sounds very strange. Gemara in Kiddushin says, Ha'ochel bashuk pasul la'idut. It's talking about testimony, and who's qualified to be a witness in a Jewish court of law, Beit Din. And it says, if someone eats out in public, like you're walking down Norwood Avenue, eating a pizza, or eating an ice cream cone, pasul la'idut. They're invalidated to become a witness in a Beit Din. And Harambam, Maimonides, says that's the law. It's not just a Gemara story. It's not a statement of Hazal. That's the law. That anybody who's bazui, who is not respectful, low life, is pasul ha'edut, is invalid. But why should a person who doesn't respect themselves be invalidated to be a witness? What does that have to do with it? If I'm the guy who saw it, and I have to be, a homeless person, what's the difference? Got the question? What's the basis for making this person invalid to be a witness? Even if that person has fear of God, even if that person would not consider lying, because it's a sin. But if he's bazui be'atzmo, he has a low self-esteem, we can't believe him that he's going to keep the mitzvah of lo ta'aneh be'reacha et shaker. Don't come and testify falsely. You know why? Because why do we believe a witness in the first place? Why should I believe you if you told me he did something and he denies it? Why should I believe you? You got a person on the stand saying it's not true. You got a witness saying it's true and we believe the witness. Why? Because if the witness has any self-respect at all, they would say to themselves, how could I ever testify falsely under oath in a court of law? Eshpasnist. It's beneath me. It's beneath my dignity to behave that way. I am better than that. I can't do it. Not I won't do it. I can't. It's, and this is a phrase I hear all the time when it comes to being good, but let's look at it from the negative. It's just not me. I'm not at that level. I'm not at that low level to do such a thing. So if a person has self-esteem, we accept their testimony because they say to themselves, even subconsciously, I can't lie. It's not like me to do such a thing, to bring false testimony. But if a person has no self-esteem, so as we say, what the H? Let it fly. Who cares? One more stain on a dirty suit. So what? So, we've come to a principle. The more a person, a Yehudi, one of us, feels that they are a son of the king, banim atem, you are sons of the king, of the God, of the Lord, and you're destined as a prince to greatness, the more you recognize that, the better Jew you will be. In observance of the technical mitzvot, in observance of the commemorative mitzvot, and in observance of self-perfection, which is a mitzvah. To build yourself up, to eliminate your flaws, to learn how to treat people, to know how to act, to know how to behave, driving and walking and talking and eating. Because I am the prince, and I'm destined for greatness. I'm something, and that's not me. That's for the people on MTV. The street people. It's not for me. There's an amazing concept. As we hit the halfway mark, we usually get a little deeper. There's an amazing concept that, you know, people have heard it, but we don't internalize it. We don't really understand it. There's a Gemara in Ta'anit that says, Le'olam yimod adam atzmo, a person should evaluate themselves ki'ilu, as if kadosh sharui b'toch me'av, holiness is in their guts. As the Pasuk says in the Prophet, Bekirbecha Kadosh, in your innards, there is holiness. How do you imagine that? How do you visualize that? How do you picture that? If I was in the presence, let's pick somebody well, everybody knows. If we were in a room, a very private audience, with Harambam, Maimonides. Now, I don't know what he looked like. I don't know if the pictures on the walls, what he looked like. I don't know if he really wore a turban. I don't know. We don't have any photographs of Harambam. But let's say you had a private audience to sit with Harambam for dinner. How would you hold the fork? How would you chew? Would you put a napkin in your lap? How would you talk? How would you sit? Remember, whatever you do, Harambam is about 36 inches away from you, looking at you and watching you. How would you behave? I know one thing. I don't know what I've learned in my life, but I tried to remember everything I could about good manners, and I'd keep my mouth shut too. I'd watch what I spoke about. I'd watch how I say it. I'd watch how I ate. I'd make sure there was nothing dripping, nothing spilling. I'd be so careful, I'd probably spill the wine out of nervousness. But why would I do it? Because I'm in the presence of Harambam. Somebody great. Somebody holy. He's right there. I'm not home sitting on my easy chair with a beer and pretzels. I'm sitting at a table with Harambam. And if that doesn't frighten you or upset you straight, pick any respect figure that you could think of. Some people have deal, respect politicians, some respect sports fit. Somebody you would feel that in their presence you wouldn't act anyway because you'd want to be on your best behavior. If I tell you, Bekirbecha Kadosh, in you there is holiness, what does that mean? It means in every single Yehudi, there's a little spark, a little light, that's part of Hashem. Hashem is in you. Ooh. You getting the message? Who's in you? V'shachanti betocham. Hashem tells Moshe, when the people behave themselves, when they act right, v'shachanti betocham, I will be in the inside, in the heart of every single Jew. So when it says in the Pasuk, Bekirbecha Kadosh, in your innards, there is holiness, there is Hashem in you and you and you. Everyone in this room. anybody who thinks of that. And if you don't think Harambam being in the room is frightening, we've upgraded by an infinite amount from a human being to God Himself is always with you. But you are carrying Him. Now let me go further with this. I said this is deep. That's not so deep. You've heard that before. There's a Gemara in Berachot. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is old, about to pass on. His students come to the bedside. They ask their rabbi for some words of wisdom. They see him crying. They see him fearful. They ask him for a blessing. What does he answer? Yehi ratzon shetehe morah shamayim alechem kimorah basar badam. It should be the will of God. You should be blessed with this. That the fear of heaven, of God, should be upon you, not by a lot, just to the same degree you fear people. So the students asked in shock, Rabbi, we should fear God only the way we fear people? What was his answer? Ulevai, I wish. I wish you embarrassed to do something in front of God like you are afraid to do it in front of people. And when a person, here's the deep part, everybody, take a deep breath, have another sip of coffee. Turn your brains back on. I see some of your eyes getting glassy. It's Monday night. I know what it's like. When a person, lo aleinu baminan, should it happen, is over avera, violates and transgresses the Torah, they're really saying, I hope nobody sees me. I hope no one sees me, not meaning Hashem. They hope no person sees them. It's basically, if you're walking by a jewelry store window at night and the glass was broken and the bell was ringing and the alarm was spinning around that bright light, you wouldn't take the jewelry from the window, I hope. But not because Hashem said don't steal. You're afraid with the alarm ringing, the cop's going to come around the corner any second and you'll get caught. But the fact that Hashem sees you doing it, you understand what Yochanan ben Zakkai was saying? You understand him now? I wish you could fear God as much as you fear that alarm and that policeman. But if a person can do a sin, and they're not afraid to do a sin, and they're there with themselves, me, myself, and I, we used to joke and say, and I do it, that means I'm not afraid of the person I'm with, I'm not afraid of myself. I'm nobody. Low self-esteem allows me to do a sin. If I don't realize who I am, I could do anything. If I realize, Bani Matem LaHashem Elokechem, I'm a son of the Lord Himself, He treats me like His child, I'm a prince to the king, Eshpasnis, it's beneath me to behave in such a way. If I understand that within me is a portion of Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that I have Kiddusha in me, I have holiness in me, that will prevent me from sinning. Says Rav Aaron Cutler, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, HaGorem HaGadol HaChet, the greatest cause of sin, shehu atzmo eno chashuv be'enav en kan adam. I'm not important. There's nobody here. No people, no person is watching. And that's why it's so important. That's why he calls it a chiyuv, to recognize your own greatness and to have self-esteem. Let's go one step further. Still awake? Hello? Everybody awake? Good. One step further. The more you fall asleep, the more excited I get. I know you're avoiding the truth by Yetzirah, putting you to sleep. This is the truth. Listen to this. You see this thing that I say, the Kadosh, that's in you? That's not auxiliary to you. That's not an option. That's you. The part you see. The part you worry about. The part you take care of and spend so much time taking care of. Your body. That's the option. That's the case. That's not what's in the box. What's in the box is the beautiful new computer, the new stereo, the new camera. That's in the box. You don't see it when you buy it. So why should I take care of the box? Because it's protecting my camera. Right? Not because it's a box. Who needs a box if there's nothing inside? Your essence is your neshama. Your box is your body. In fact, when you take care of your body, when you feed it, when you wash it, when you dress it, when you exercise it, you're really only serving your soul. You're not taking care of something that's you. You're taking care of the thing that houses you and serves you. And the more you understand that your true essence, your true Joseph and David and Sarah and Miriam, the true person is the neshama of that person, the more you realize, Banim atem laHashem Elokechem, you are sons and daughters of Hashem, Ki am kadosh ata, you are a holy nation, you're special. And at that point, you will elevate yourself to the self-esteem you feel when you really believe what I'm telling you tonight. Vayikra Rabba, the Midrash. Gomel nafsho ish hesed. Gomel is like gimilut chasadim. To give to an ani is gimilut chasadim. To help out another person, gomel, is to give kindness. To be kind to someone else is gomel. Gomel nafsho ish chesed. Kind to his own soul is the person of chesed, of kindness. Says the Midrash, who is that? Who's a beautiful example? Who's the paradigm of such a person? Hillel HaZaken. Hillel the elder. The famous Nasi of the Jewish people, the famous Sadiq, who had constant differences with Bet Shammai, who was strict, and he's known to be the more lenient. When he used to leave his students used to ask him, Rabbi, Lechan ata olech? Now that you're leaving us, the shiur is over. Where are you going? Amar lahem, the Midrash tells us what his answer was. La'asot mitzvah. I'm going to do a mitzvah. I'm going to keep one of the commandments. I'm going to do a positive act. Amrulo, they said to him, V'chi ma mitzvah zo? Teach us, Rabbi, which mitzvah are you going to do? Anybody have a guess? Eat? Good guess, but not the right one. Be with his wife? Good guess, not the right one. Amar lahem, lirchot b'met ha'merchatz. I'm going to the bathhouse to take a bath and a sauna. That's a mitzvah, Rabbi. To go dunk in a nice hot tub? That's a mitzvah. Amar lehem, you know what he answered them? Ma'im oknin shel melachim. Imagine if they take care of the image of a king that they put on the walls of a theater or in a stadium. They put some image of the king. I was in Leningrad a couple of years ago. They changed the name back from Leningrad to Petersburg. And we're driving through the city. There's tons of pictures of Lenin and statues of Lenin. And we asked the guy, how come that? They got rid of this guy. He said there were so many statues and pictures of Lenin in Leningrad that they're constantly taking them down. They haven't finished yet. But every one of them is well taken care of. Because if the pigeons should go on the statue, they have a public servant, a public worker, a sanitation man whose job it is to wash that statue. To wash that image of that Rasha. Yimach Shemo v'zichro Lenin. But says Hillel Zaken, if that's the way they treat the statue of some government official who judges them, he hands out public services to them, maybe gives them food stamps. Me, who was created in the image, B'tselem Udmut, Selem Elokim, I have the image of God. How much more so should I take care of my external features? So yes, going to the bath is a mitzvah. Have it in mind tomorrow. Probably showering 3 times in this heat. Every time you shower, you say, I'm taking care of the image that I was made in. The great image of God that I was created in. And it's a mitzvah to look right and look clean and neat and nice. In fact, the Midrash continues, and Hillel makes another amazing statement. This is Hillel HaZaken, this famous pasuk, Gomer Nafsho Ish Hasid. It's Hillel, you know why? When he used to leave his students and he was going on the road, they used to ask him, where are you going, Rabbi? And he said to them, I'm going to do a chesed with the guest that's in his house. They said, you have a guest in your house every day? I said, of course. This embarrassed soul, isn't it a guest in my body? One day it's here, and one day it's not. Ooh. The soul is a guest in the body. So he cleans the body to make nice surroundings. You ever have guests in your house? I love when we have guests. When you have guests in the house, you clean up the guest room. You set the table beautifully. You might even put some towels and little shampoos and soaps in their room. You make sure they have everything they need. You even get very hotel-y and maybe pull down the cover on an angle and put the pillow. And maybe if you're really, really fancy, you put a little mint on the pillow or something nice. And you fix up the guest bathroom. You make sure everything's there. Because the guest is there. The guest is coming. Can't be like it looks on a regular Tuesday. I'm having guests this weekend. The house can't look just anyway. I'm having... So Hillel HaZaken saw his body as the house in which his neshama, this special guest, resides. So I do take care of my body. You know why? It's the house for an important guest, the real essential, the neshama. He took care of his guest. He took care of the poor, poverty-stricken one who's in this world suffering, his soul. That's why he ate. That's why he washed. That's why he slept. And he got a mitzvah for every one of those actions. Someone who could feel when I'm eating, when I'm drinking, when I'm exercising, when I'm sleeping, when I'm washing, I'm taking care of someone else. That's who the pasuk is talking about. When it says, "Gomel nafsho ish chesed," doing kindness to his soul is the person of chesed. It's all a matter of intent. If you can get in your mind what I'm trying to get across to you tonight, I'm not finding some obscure Gemara. I'm not finding a Midrash nobody heard of. I'm not looking into one of the Sifrei Musar or one of the Rishonim. I'm quoting a pasuk from the Torah Shebichtav. The words of Moshe Rabbeinu to the Jewish people in the last 36 days of his life. The most heartrending words ever spoken by a human being to another. And in trying to give them guidance for the rest of eternity, he told them, don't forget your self-esteem. Don't fall prey. Recognize that you won that lottery. You are the owner of $200 million. Don't walk around like a pauper. Banim atem. You're children of the King. You're destined for greatness. You are something special. Act that way. Dress that way. Two little stories. I got this thing in the mail this week, as most of you probably did. I was looking through it. It was sent out by, signed by the Sephardic rabbis of the Jersey Shore. It's part of a campaign this summer to make people aware of tzniut, modesty. To act in a modest way, to dress in a modest way, to make parties in a modest way, to do things in a way befitting of Jewish law and Jewish psyche and Jewish status. And I was looking through it, and a lot of little interesting things here. Some, you know, you might agree with, some you may not. Some are new to you, some are old to you. But I noticed this little piece in this pink box. Any of you have it home, it's on page 3. And it says, modesty does not deny the woman her natural requirements. And far be it from Judaism to prevent a woman from having one of her innate and instinctive needs fulfilled. I mean, come on. She wants to look good. And here comes a paper sent out by rabbis and says she has a right to that. And not only that, it's okay. It's natural. It's human and it's proper to feel that way. However, while she has a legitimate need to have a pleasant and regal appearance, there is no necessity for her to dress in a way that attracts the attention of passers-by. Lo alechem, to be in Manhattan when it's 90 degrees. Adam HaRishon before the sin, that's how they dress. If you know how Adam dressed before the sin, you all got as far as Bereshit, right? That's how they go to work, in an office, all day. That's how they walk the streets. It's how to go shopping. That's not what's expected of us. While she has a need to appear pretty and graceful to our husband, that's important. There are laws of avelut, where a woman is given certain leniencies regarding makeup and other things to look pleasant to her husband. She has a need to feel that way, and it's proper to feel that way, and it's healthy for her to look that way. Family and friends. But still, she should have no urge to exhibit herself for all to admire her. Now that's the part you probably heard before. But in keeping with what I'm trying to get across tonight, that I'm kadosh ata, that you are holy in yourself inside. That's your real self. If I ask you who you are, or what do you look like, and you tell me I'm 6'2", I'm 140 pounds, whatever it is, that's not you, that's the box. That's not the camera inside. That's the box. Who are you? I'm digital, I'm this, I'm that, I have this option. That's who you are, the essence inside. To our good fortune, modesty and refinement are an intrinsic part of being a Jewish woman or girl. Women have inherited these treasures from the original mothers of Israel, each of whom personified special modesty and refinement. It is our duty to reawake these partly dormant qualities again with ourselves. That goes for men, and that goes for women. Because whoever's writing this is ignoring the fact that men feel I have to have a fashion item on me. I have to dress any way that I like that makes me feel trendy. I have to drive trendy. My office has to be trendy. My business has to be trendy. My advertising to earn a parnasa, I don't care if it violates halakha, as long as it's trendy. Wrong. Intrinsically, the basic, the real Jew, if he recognizes himself, is so special that it's beneath them to act that way. I recently had a real live incident. I will change the details not to embarrass anybody, but I will give you the story in its essentials so you understand what I'm talking about. In these post 9/11 days, the way people feel in the presence of people from the Middle East is, to say the least, uncomfortable. There have been incidents where people did not want to get on a plane. They demonstrated at the airport, if you don't take that person off, we're all getting off. There have been incidents in all places and ways where it's called racial profiling, call what you like. But if it's a Muslim, if it's an Arab, I don't want to be around. Check out, let's go, vamoose, scat, scooch, get away. Put it the way you like. And it's only natural because no matter what they say, the profile, the people doing most of the things that scare people have that profile. I was with some people. These people, unfortunately, it was a Bikur Cholim visit. And I was in a hospital. And the person was being taken to their room in a wheelchair, being moved to a room. Got to the room, and the room was not private. It's what's called semi-private. It means it's occupied. There's an A bed and a B bed. In the B bed was a young lady, looked like me or you, I guess. And around her was a group of very MTV dressed, very street-looking, Arabic-looking people. Worst fears were verified when they started speaking to each other as we entered the room, their English, with the heavy R and the B, you know, the Brints of England, the letter B. That's M-N-O-B. And the R. And the other guttural sounds of the R. And we knew that they were Arabs. And the patient happened to be a Jewish female who was going to have to sleep in that room that night. And so the concerned people like myself and one or two others that were there on the visit, what are you going to do? We got to switch the room. Maybe tell them, you know, don't say anything about them, because if you say about them, you know,
nervous now. She's in front of him, covering the mouth. Let's just say she'd like a room by herself. So one of us goes over to the desk, to the head nurse. How do we change her? You go to the nurse. I've got to go to the nurse's desk. Hi, this person is a little, you know, and she had a rough day, and, you know, the operation, everything, and really want to be sure she gets a good night's sleep. The people in the room seem to have a big family, and there's a lot of them in there. Maybe you can get a room down the hall where there's nobody. No, we don't have any empty rooms. That's the bed you get. So we come back to the room. But the bad news, we can't change the room. We're looking at these people, we're shaking. So the other people I was with are now huddling about what to do. Me, known as Mr. Teil, talk to anybody. I look at somebody, I say, hi, how you doing? Gives me a look. It's black eyes, black hair. He says, how are you doing? I'm doing good. Nice family you have there. Where are you all from? He says, me. We are from Syria. I go, they're worse than Arabs, they're Syrians. And then he throws in a word I didn't expect. We are Jewish Syrians. I said, oh really? Me too. And then I throw in a couple of words of Arabic. Jiddi min halam and went into da ba 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 ba. Turns out he's from Damascus. He's Shami. Where do you live? East 8th and Avenue T. What's your knees? I is it. Really, I'm Shad Etzion. And now we're the best of friends. And I'm looking at the guy and the girl and the mother and the other one. I can't believe I'm speaking with people from our community. They don't look it. They don't act it. And I got news for you. I was scared until I found out who they are and realized they just look that way. The box got wet and it's corroded. But inside, they're the same as me. Inside, they have the spark. It's just theirs. Has more styrofoam and filler till you get to the middle. You know, when you buy a computer, it comes in the box, pull out 3 inches of styrofoam, you're already at the computer. When you buy a small piece of equipment, they put a lot of styrofoam, and it's a delicate piece of equipment, you take out, it's 7 inches thick till you get to the piece. That's the difference between me and them. Theirs is buried. They don't know who they are. They don't know, and I'm bringing it up, not because they were frightening. It's just as frightening when one of our men or women who has money, who is refined, who is from our upper echelons, behaves like a goy, not an Arab, like a Parisian, or a Roman, or a Greek. Because we shop there, and we want to eat like them, and we want to dress like them, and we want to look like them, and we want to have parties like them, we want to have entertainment like them, we want to have games like them, everything like them. You know where it comes from? A lack of self-esteem. I think they're better. You know, fashion follows the people that people admire. If there's a new movie star combs their hair a certain way, all the women go and get their hair cut that way. They admire that person's success, their fame, the honor that they get from other people, and they start to copy. A certain politician becomes president, all the men start to wear ties like he wears, or a suit like he wears, because they admire the fact he's reached success, or a baseball player, or a movie star, or whatever. That comes from the fact that you think they're better than you. You'll never dress like the guy you see sleeping on the bench under the carton. Because you know you're better than him. He should want to dress like me. We saw a very sad but funny, amusing,
I guess it's called either the rye type of scene today, as we sat on the bus waiting for the passengers to come to leave for deal tonight on our Torah bus. I looked out of the bus and I tell the guys on the bus, you want to see something funny as well as sad? There was this street person, a black man, disgustingly dirty, ripped clothing, I don't know what he had wrapped around his head, and he's standing by the window of Conway, where the bus parks, looking in the window, fixing himself. And I said, with the way he looks, he thinks moving two hairs or moving this rag that he has wrapped around his head is going to look good. But that's what he thinks. Would any of us want to look like him? No. Because he's beneath us. He sleeps under a cart at night. He smells. He's dirty. He drinks. We're not like that. Are we really like the MTV people? Is that what we want to be? Are we really like the sports figures who get busted left and right for different offenses between child beating, wife beating, drugs, and all other types of promiscuity and immorality? Do we really want to be like the president and what he went through in his last term? Or any of them? Or would we prefer to act and be like who we really are? That beautiful neshama, that chelek from Hashem, that tzelem Elokim, that beautiful banim atem, we are sons of God. We are children of God. We are princes. And if we keep that in our mind, we'll take care of ourselves. We'll feel our worth. We'll feel our self-esteem. And Yirat Zom, that beautiful self-image, will force us to behave, dress, act, eat, sleep, pray, entertain, vacation, park, drive, do everything that's befitting our status as the royal family. Amen.